All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show, Rick Tittle, with you, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. And that music on a Tuesday in our first hour can only mean one thing. It's time to talk with our friend Karen Lyle, a co-host from SalesportTalk.com. Karen, we have a few interesting guests before we get into them. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am doing great. It looks like a good day on the water, but I'm here talking to you, which is just is equally wonderful.
I don't know about that, but it's our pleasure to welcome back to the program Abraham Cooper, the San Francisco Postmaster for the United States Postal Service, and just did a special Building Bridges postal cancellation on Treasure Island in commemoration of the Golden Gate International Expedition. It's the bicentennial of the independence of Peru and the Peruvian Naval Tall Ship Union. Postmaster Cooper, thank you so much for coming back on the show again. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys did over at Treasure Island, please.
Well, good morning to you, and thank you again for having me back on. You know, it was obviously it was definitely a beautiful day at Treasure Island, and what a location to do what we did in this cancellation and joining part here in Peru's bicentennial. But the cancellation was for the stamp of Our Lady of Guapolo, which was done by an 18th century painting by Juan Cuzo out of Peru. So it was a spectacular stamp, beautiful stamp, available at our post office. And with that cancellation on that day was a phenomenal event, and to share it with Peru, it was beautiful. It was very, very beautiful. And it was well done, so tasteful, put on by Karen. You know, obviously social distancing in the time that we are dealing with right now, but a spectacular moment, and I enjoyed doing it for the Postal Service.
Yeah, Abraham, it was really great to see you, and it was such an unusual circumstance. We could only have 12 people by the permit during the pandemic, and that site on the opening day that we were celebrating 81 years before was like thousands of people. I think there were 17 million people who went to the Golden Gate International Exposition. Wow. After the two bridges were built. And the Postal Service had issued several stamps and had a post office right there on Treasure Island, didn't you?
Yes, and actually we have what we call a village post office, so it's actually part of a store that we have, but not the full-blown post office as we have in different facilities. But we do have and we do delivery at that out of the Treasure Island location.
And just as an aside, Abraham, we know that the Postal Service, like everything during COVID, has faced many challenges. How are things going? And with the new administration in the White House, are things looking different? What's going on with you guys?
You know, we're still pressing forward. We're still delivering for the American people. And out here in San Francisco, I mean, we have not skipped a beat in making deliveries. You know, obviously, it's certainly challenging right now with what we deal with. But, you know, outside of that, you know, we're making sure that our employees are well equipped with, PPP gears to ensure that they protect themselves and what they do as essential day in and day out, delivering for the American people here in San Francisco. So we have not skipped a beat on that. Biggest thing is just like with everybody else, you know, we're part of the community, part of the public here. And we're making sure we do our part, delivering the mail for them and packages as, you know, people need it. A lot of folks are home, but we're just pressing forward and just dealing with things day by day as things get better, as we know it will be.
Postmaster Cooper, you are one of those who came up through the ranks in USPS, didn't you? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, I certainly did. After coming into the Postal Service, and it was after serving in the military, I came in as I started as a letter carrier down in beautiful San Diego. And, through the ranks from letter carrier, supervisor, it was not an executive postmaster at the time as a manager, and later on got an opportunity as I moved up through the ranks to become an executive and to come here to beautiful San Francisco, where I became, this was my first executive assignment before going on, and I was gone for about a year out in Capitol working in Washington, D.C., which Karen thought she lost me for a while, but I'm back.
Well, I should remind everyone, and by the way, speaking of bicentennial, it's our centennial. This is our 100th Sales Sport Talk show, but it was about 2 years ago. It was April of 2019, Abraham, when you came in, and we did a special cancellation in studio. And that's interesting how, you know, there's a saying in Christianity, you know, where two or more are gathered in my name, that's technically now becomes a church. So what is it like to have the power to create a temporary post office, basically, wherever you go?
It's something which is written in our bylaws, you know, that obviously we have to deliver, you know, pretty much everywhere, which we do. I mean, rain, sleet, or snow. And, you know, it's something that we can do. It doesn't matter if a facility went down today or tomorrow. We can stand still at any location, whether it's a temporary tent we put up, whatever it may be, and we still turn around and we deliver it to the people. You know, I'm sure you're aware of the fire that we had up in Santa Rosa a few years back, you know, and, you know, we sustained some loss, but guess what? We did not skip a beat in making sure that we prepared the mail and getting it out to the American people, and that's what we did.
I've also experienced over the years as I've been doing these United States Postal Service building bridges, special postal cancellations since 1996, that sometimes when a postmaster is not able to be there, he can swear in a mayor or someone else. What is that process all about?
You know, I've never been involved in that piece, Karen. I'm not sure about the intricate details on that, but I'm sure it's written somewhere on the protocol for that. I've never been part of doing that, but at least for me, when I've had the opportunity, and you know, when you've called upon me, I mean, we're there, because it is a beautiful thing to be able to cancel a stamp, because one thing about that ink that you put on that stamp, once it's done, I mean, it's forever. It cannot be redone. You know, you cannot go back and recreate the date. So once that date is done, I mean, that's something in the history book forever and ever. And it was kind of like what we did there at Treasure Island.
I have noticed, too, that even with, you know, the advent of email, of course, which has cut in huge to the Postal Service and all the private delivery companies and all the things that we get delivered from special vans from those online companies, people still use the post office, especially, I mean, the lines are around the block. At Christmas time, people still want registered mail. There's just something about dealing with the post office, knowing that the government is behind it. It just seems much more official, doesn't it?
You know, it's so true. And, you know, last time I was there, I had mentioned this because it came up about the lost art. You know, I remember when I was in high school, that lost art of, you know, collecting stamp collectors. And there's still a few people out there that does that stamp collection. And it's like, wow, you know, people don't think about that. But it's something tied into the post office with collecting stamps. And you're like, you're waiting to see, well, what's the next stamp that's going to come out? You know, so we have folks there that stand up and just ready for that next stamp and really keep in touch with that piece. So, yeah, the community has always been connected with the Postal Service, and it's just something that the post office, we're in every community, and we serve the folks in our community.
Abraham, I have in my hand another cancellation that was given to me at the ceremony on Treasure Island about the Airmail 100 Transcontinental Centennial Flight that happened on September in September 2020. So that was also during the pandemic, and I really think that that's amazing. And I learned about the franking device that you use for the stamp. Those oftentimes get destroyed unless they're going to a museum. Is that right?
Yes, that is so true. And I actually got a chance to that bag. I got a chance to sign that mail bag too on that day at Treasure Island. So that was pretty neat. Because they had done it, like you say, last year when I was gone during the pandemic, and he gave me an opportunity to sign the bag that is actually going to be in the museum. That was a lesson well learned there when we did that event.
Two of my favorite things in the last 20 years. One, stamps, you don't have to lick them. They're stickers. And two, they say forever on them. Gone are the days if a stamp goes up 3 cents. Everybody had to buy a whole bunch of 3 cent stamps to throw on with their old stamps as well. We have been speaking with Abraham Cooper, San Francisco Postmaster for the United States Postal Service. Postmaster Cooper, thank you so much for your time. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much. You guys have a wonderful day. Much appreciated. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
No doubt. And Karen, we just have about a minute here. Got your note that this is our 100th show, huh?
It is. And I also wanted to mention that if people are interested in being able to get the cachet that has the tall ship or the Treasure Island memorabilia on it, that they can they can go to the salesporttalk.com website, and there's a video of the ceremony, but also there's a link to the website that takes them to the caches. So there is still possible to get those special postal cancellations for like about 3 more days.
I always said the show had a lot of cachet.
It does, and 100 times. We've done this 100 times. You think there's still a lot about you I and all the listeners don't know yet, Rick, you know.
Oh, well, I try to stay opaque.
I know, but yeah, I can't see through you. I really can't.
I'm a virtual stranger, especially on Skype. All right, coming up next, we will continue the talk, and we will go with the Consul General of Peru. We'll do that next on Sports Byline. Rick Tittle, Karen Lyle, come on back.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. I hosted a ceremony for the United States Postal Service on Treasure Island in San Francisco, celebrating the 81st anniversary of the Golden Gate International Exhibition and also the bicentennial of the independence of Peru. Here are the remarks of Treasure Island Museum President Mike Hanahan and also the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association Commodore Patty Mangan, who were both recognized in this ceremony.
Thank you, Karen, and thank you so much, Postmaster Cooper, and both of you for the honor of being part of your Building Bridges event today. As you've already heard, Treasure Island was built for the Golden Gate Expo in order to celebrate the completion of the Golden Gate Bridge and the Bay Bridge here in San Francisco. The theme of that World's Fair was Pacific Unity, and it included the participation of many countries across Asia, North America, and South America, including our co-honoree today, Peru. We at the Treasure Island Museum aspire to continue the spirit of that diversity, the unity, and the inclusion in our exhibitions and our monthly online lectures, where we explore social topics such as art and architecture at the fair, including those wonderful Peruvian sculptures, racial equity, LGBTQ, and women's issues. We explore science and engineering topics such as aviation through the Pan Am Clippers that flew out of here, and also through things like urban planning and the climate change and sea level rise, which are definitely topics of today. Finally, we have to cover the rich legacy of the Navy, which included the Port Chicago Mutiny Trial, which was held here, and the great achievements of Admiral Chester Nimitz, who lived and died here and worked here on Treasure Island and Yerba Buena Island. We hope to live up to the original high expectations of the fair and build bridges of our own by becoming a community resource for island residents and visitors from around the world as Treasure Island becomes San Francisco's newest neighborhood and the museum reopens here in Building 1 as part of that redevelopment.
Hello, everybody. I am very grateful for this opportunity to receive this special USPS Building Bridges Postal Cancellation cachet. I'm honored. And I represent the Pacific Interclub Yacht Association, celebrating our 125th anniversary this year. This opportunity to be part of such an important moment in time to recognize the Golden Gate International Exposition, in which PICYA actually had a very large exhibit, as well as we organized regattas, and basically were a part of the organization of the event. This year, we're going to celebrate that by joining together all the yacht clubs. I've called on 107 yacht clubs to parade around Treasure Island clockwise together in one direction and to celebrate our unity and community.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to Sports Byline USA. Rick Tittle with you. It's the first hour on a Tuesday. We are joined by Karen Lyle from SalesportTalk.com. We have another guest scheduled. Dominic has left him a few messages. When we get him, we'll throw him on the air. We have Karen Lyle with us, and Karen, We need to throw a little, after 100 episodes, need to throw a little thanks to Latitude 38, which is one of the best sailing magazines out there. And if you think about the summer solstice, this is supposed to go down in June. Does it look like we might actually have it?
Yes, actually. And they have, people can sign up for that online anywhere. They are planning to be out on the water, and it's really just about people telling their stories about where they are in the world and what they're doing with sailing. And certainly a lot of people are sailing right now, because it's a very good way to socially distance and have a great time in nature and on the water.
Any update on the America's Cup? Because, you know, we have the first weekend coming up here on Saturday, and yet we heard that Auckland went into some new lockdown. Where are we right now?
Well, they actually were able to continue with the America's Cup because the teams had been certified for operation under the COVID circumstances in the different phases, the different levels of lockdown before they started all of the races. But the issue really was that when they found the first COVID case, they didn't know how widespread it was, and so they had like a 72-hour lockdown. But after that, they were able to continue with the Prada Cup, and so that was completed. And as you know, it's going to be Italy against New Zealand. So we're expecting to be talking about the new races coming up for the actual America's Cup next week or the week after, depending upon what happens with COVID.
Yeah, the earliest they can go is Wednesday the 10th now instead of Saturday. And the delay, what does that mean? Well, mostly it would be for weather forecasting and to strategize on that, right?
Right. I mean, it's always been known that you might have to change the date, because if the weather's not favorable, and what I mean is if there's no wind, you can't go anywhere. And if there's too much wind, you know, it can cause, it can break the boat and be hazardous to the lives of the sailors out there on the water. So the race committee is the one that determines, you know, who is what's going to happen. There's usually more than one race course. It gets altered based on the directions of the wind sometimes. So there's a lot of different variables in every game.
I think one of the more fascinating things, and even after all these shows we haven't brought it up yet, is something called the Measurement Committee. And on Monday, yesterday, was the final day for the boats to say, here are our configurations, which was telling the exact specific details on everything, the hull, the rig, the foils, and the precise weight. So you can't change your mind now. If you don't like the way the weather's going, they are basically stuck with what they submitted, correct?
Right. They have to conform to what they call the box rule, which is, there's certain specifications that the boats can and can't have. And what all of these races have been about up until now has been getting out on the water, testing the boats, seeing how fast they go in comparison to the competition, and changing the design. But now, here we are. We're going to go with what we've got, and it's going to be very exciting to see what happens.
I read an article, the other day, talking about how the America's Cup, the organizers of it, they, without saying it out loud, they want all-round boats that can do anything. They don't want just a boat that's good at tacking or just a boat that's super fast. They sort of feel like, to show off the sport, they want a boat that can do everything pretty well without being, you know, excellent at just one thing. As I said, do you think that's true, that that's kind of the underlying factor to some of this stuff?
Well, I think they have to take into consideration not only speed and interest for the design teams and the sailors and the sailing community at large, but they also take into consideration what makes a good race. And that's been one of the things that Christopher Kane and I have been, you know, having our conversations about, because he likes the catamarans. And I think this new monohull foiling boat is pretty cool. But it's all about how can you push the boats? How can it be exciting for the people who are watching and participating as well?
I think what's also kind of interesting, too, and I'm not accusing either team, New Zealand or Italy, of any type of skullduggery, but apparently there is a way, if you want to change something out, is to say that it broke. And if you don't want to replace it with the exact same thing, you have to make a major case. And so they don't think like you're changing your mind after the fact. But you know those Italians, they're cheaters. No, I'm just kidding. Have you ever heard about a little, you know, gamesmanship like this?
Well, and you know, a good word for the Italians whom I love. Rick, you're always known for your good sense of humor and for what you do, and I'm always known for trying to put the best face on everything, so we're an interesting
yes.
pair.
Well, you saw Breaking Away, right?
Yeah.
So the Italians, they put the bike pump in the spokes. I kid, but what I'm trying to, I mean, look, the Italians deserve their way there. They crushed the United States in a shutout. They only let Team UK win once. They've got a great thing going. And I would imagine, too, in a way, if you could talk about which team this favors, this delay, I would probably say the champs, because New Zealand has been sitting on their hands for months, and the Italians are raring to go, and now they have to try to cool down a little bit and try and cool off that hot streak. So if there's any benefit, I would think probably it would be to the New Zealanders, because they're already used to waiting.
Well, I think there's pluses and minuses. On the plus side, they've been able to watch the Italians race and study and see what's happening, see what their boat is, see how it performs. On the minus side, there is no substitute for being out there on the water and being able to race against your competitor. So I think that they're probably handicapped by not being on the water as much as they're advantaged by it. And so I'm not sure I don't think there's any way of predicting who's going to win this race. I think it's so close that it's going to be a puff of wind or a tactical, you know, decision or something that's going to make the difference.
I know that there was a request for an interpretation of the rules that went down last summer, and they talked about having a jury having to answer a question about some of the things configured with the arms as well. And when I saw that, all I could think of was, jury? Who is adjudicating this, and what you don't get a jury duty notice. So is this part of just the, you would think you would want something a little more arbitrary or independent, but do you know who the jury is?
You know, I actually, I believe that the box rule, and this I'm not certain of, so I will get back to it, but I believe it's the World Sailing Organization that has done this in the past, and I haven't looked that one up for this particular one, because each America's Cup is different. They will basically submit their, you know, their challenge and the fact that they're going to have the race to an independent organization. I know that SailGP recently asked World Sailing to do the judging, as it were, this, you know, the maintaining of the rules and the standards. And I can tell you this, that when you mentioned before about, you know, them being able to petition for a change if something's broken, anything that anyone does to change a rule or to make some decision like that is going to be fraught with much drama and debate. And so it would be hard to change things at this point, I think.
You know, we have seen in sports before teams or individuals at the Olympics win something, and then after the fact, because of a drug test, or maybe someone was ineligible on a team, or there was some sort of video evidence after the fact, that we did get an award going the other way. Have we had a case of a boat crossing the finish line and yay, we won, and it's like, wait, hold on, we didn't realize you did this earlier, we didn't realize you didn't get around this buoy, you bumped into this thing? Is that rather common or very, very uncommon?
Well, I would say that it certainly happens that there are penalties or things that come up that cause a person to lose, to who won the race to actually have the trophy taken away from them. In the America's Cup, you know, Christopher King is a history buff on that, and he's been following it back forever. And I only started with the America's Cup back in when it was in San Francisco, and the boats sailed around, you know, raced around my little boat as a mark. And so I'm a non-racing sailor who has become an avid fan of racing because I'm just so fascinated by the, you know, the way this all works and the passion that people have. And I love design. I'm kind of geeky in that way, you know. So I can't answer to that specifically, but as far as all of the historic history, because my history is very recent on that. But we have to ask that to Christopher. I think it's a great question.
Well, the one thing I do know, which I find fascinating, is that if, and this is all in real time, too, during a race, if you think an opponent has broken a rule in the America's Cup, you make an official protest. The umpires, if they agree with you while the race is going on, the other boat has to go back 50 meters. And when it's exactly 50 meters, they go, okay, now the race restarts. I found that fascinating that that actually happens, but I guess it's the only way to try to make it fair, right?
Well, they have, you know, there's the protest and then there's the penalty. And, you know, it's interesting to see how they push it. And certainly in the America's Cup races, I mean, the races that we had previous to this for the Challenger, the Prada Cup and the December races, we saw the boats, the tacticians basically coming up with strategies as to how they were going to maybe try and push the other team into a penalty. And where the penalties oftentimes show is going to be in the right of way rules, you know, because basically it has to do with how fast you're going in relationship to the other boat, whether you're overtaking, and also whether which way the wind is going, where your sail is set according to the wind. And so there's these complex rules that unless you know sailing and right of way rules, you may not be able to understand how that team is pushing it. But you know, certainly that's what happened between Italy and UK on this last race that we had, is that both teams pushed each other to try and get a penalty happening.
Well, anyway, we want to make sure everybody checks out SailSportTalk.com, Latitude38.com, SummerSailsTest.com. Unfortunately, the Consul General of Peru couldn't join us, but it is their bicentennial from the days of Fernando Pizarro all the way to the Incan. I mean, it's just they have a fascinating history there.
We'll have him back. I think there might have just been a technical glitch because I know that he was on call.